Well, we still have an opportunity to sign up for life groups. Pastor Carey's away today on vacation, but he would want to say, no pressure, just pleasure. Come find me after the service. We'd love to help you get plugged into a life group. There's still space for you to consider jumping on board. Well, hey, this morning, joined by two of our newer pastors on staff here. I used to be the young one on staff for a long time, which meant, I don't know what it meant. They would tell me how old, you know, like when I was born, how old they were, you know, like all those things. But what it really meant is I had to lift heavy things around the building because I was young and strong. So I'm not suggesting that we cast that on these two, but super, super grateful to be joined. I'll introduce you in case you don't know them. To my right is Pastor Julie. She is our children's pastor here at HFCN. She hails from Moultonboro, New Hampshire. I'm probably not saying that right, but it's close. And so she's been on staff with us almost a year now, and she is a rock star among our children. Just, you can see, she is. Then to her right is Pastor Olivia, who is our student ministries pastor, and that just happened at the beginning of the summer, so she's still transitioning in, but I'm super, super grateful. And this morning, just wanted to take a few minutes to have a conversation together with them about this idea of all generations, and then they're going to help us as we launch into our new series today. So first off, thanks for being here. One cool thing that we share in common that you may not realize, we all went to the same college. Eastern Nazarene College is not a big college either, so it's pretty rare to find three people at the same time that all went there. So in honor of that, I brought my lion paw from ENC up. Just thought we could have a little moment together. You guys can just mind your own business for a minute. Just thought we could. All right, thanks. So I want to ask you each some questions this morning and let these guys listen in a little bit. First of all, you believe in future generations. And I don't even really like saying that because future generations makes it sound like they don't matter today. I understand why we say that. But I know you believe in them because it's what you do. It's what you're about. Why is that so critical? Why, as a church, do we think that's critical? Why in your life is it so critical that we don't miss our, in your case, Olivia, our middle school and high school students, and Julie, everybody beneath that. So, Olivia, I'll let you go first. Share from your heart a little bit on why this is so critical for us as a church.
Yeah, well, I think that every young person is really looking for a place where they belong, and not really only young people. I think we can all say that about ourselves. We all really strive to find that place where we feel connected, important, and of value. And whether that's the church or not, once we find this place, we really cling tight to it. And so, you know, as we grow and change, and especially our young people, they, you know, they experience things that cause us fear, that maybe are challenges. And they're going to go to that place that they cling so tight to for guidance and counsel. And if we want to guide our young people towards the kingdom, it has to be the church. I don't really think that there's an option. So that being said, the church has to be a place where we add value to the lives of young people. And that might mean intentionally extending love and grace where it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Belonging. I like that. What do you think, Pastor Julie?
I definitely agree with that. And I also believe that the younger generation is very driven by a need and a desire to contribute something. And they have a lot to offer, a lot to contribute. But if they feel like they're not really contributing to the life of the church, they're going to feel like the church doesn't need them, and in turn that they don't need the church. So I think it's really, really critical that we value what the younger generation has to offer, because we do want them to feel like they belong here, like they're not just here to warm up seats in the church, but really to be a part of the active church body.
So. Yeah, not that they have something to contribute one day, but today, now, they have something to contribute that we need. I appreciate that. Well, you both obviously believe a lot in ministry, but one of the things that we believe in here at HFCN is we don't just believe it's your job to, you know, Julie, fix our kids, please. And I've thought that a few times with mine, like, please, Julie, do something. But that's not it. We believe that we're in this together. And so help us know, what is the biggest area of need that you have? As we're praying for you in your ministry, you guys are both relatively new. It's exciting. What's your biggest need, and how can we be praying for you specifically? Julie, you want to take that first?
Yeah. yeah, definitely prayer is the most important thing for our children and for the life of the children in the church here, our children's ministry, but also volunteers. And I know we push that a lot, and we don't mean to be redundant, but really being present upstairs with the children is very key, I think, and important to investing in them and making them feel valued in the church body. So what we call our volunteers, we call them Love Patrol. And that's really based on the fact that they're there to love on the children, not just to patrol them, but to really love on them and invest in their lives and mentor them and build those relationships.
Yeah.
So that's a way that everyone can really be involved.
Great. Somebody's getting blessed. Revival's breaking out on the front row. Go ahead, Pastor Olivia. What do you have to add?
I think I would say the same thing. First of all, prayer. Like, it's so important. And I just can't ask for it enough. I do think it's really important. And also the same thing, presence, just being present. First of all, kids. Like, if you have kids in middle school or high school, like, please send them.
Yeah.
I don't ever imagine myself feeling unsupported by this church if the kids that attend here keep coming back. And then I don't think youth group has to just be for teenagers. I think that we speak a lot about this church being multi-generational, and that doesn't just mean seeing kids in this service, but it means seeing you guys in all services, in all areas of ministry. So don't ever hesitate to reach out if you want to help in the kitchen on a Sunday night or come to an event. I think presence is also really important.
Yeah, that's good. If you have a young person in your life, do whatever you can to connect them. If they're middle school, high school, to Pastor Olivia, children, to Julie. But what they would say is, it's not really just about them. I always give the example, I had the same youth pastor my whole life, and love him dearly. But I can only tell you probably two things he ever taught me, which is embarrassing, probably. I hope he's not listening on Facebook Live. But what I remember is his life, like what his life lived in the things that he did for me and the ways that he was present in some of my darkest moments. That's what I remember, and that's what changed my life. And so what we're passionate here is not just preaching the word to our students and our young people, but putting people in their lives that can love them and invest in them. And so I love that. I think that's beautiful. Thank you both. They don't refuse like free coffee or free lunches either. So you have a young person, you need to connect to them. Just say, come on, let's go. And they'll follow you wherever you're feeding them. That'll be good. Hey, I want to ask you just a couple more questions. I want you to take off your ministry hat for a minute. I want to ask you questions just as young people. You're millennials. That's what we call your generation. And I joke often, I'm like the grandfather of millennials because I think I barely made the cut. But I want to ask you, this is a generation that, let's be honest, there's a lot of kind of negative things that are said sometimes. It's a generation that often can be called entitled, that they don't know how to really work hard, that they've had so much handed to them in life. And so that's hard to hear. I know I'm not calling you guys out, but I know it's hard. But then also, this is a generation that they just care about making a difference in the world. Like, they see that millions of people don't have clean water, and they don't think, oh, that's too... They think, I'm going to do something about that, and it's beautiful. So I want you to speak, as millennials, to our church. What do we need to do to ensure that we're not missing your generation, that your peers find this church as their home, just not today, but into the future? I guess it's your turn. Yeah, go ahead.
This question I can really only answer from personal experience, and my answer is a little simple and a little cheesy, but it's true. I think that the biggest thing is just we need someone to believe in us. And I say that because I honestly wouldn't be here if a few people in this church hadn't really believed in me. A lot of people here recognize the call in my life, not only into ministry, but also as a believer. And they spoke that truth into my life. So I say that to say, don't ever hesitate to speak that kind of truth into a young person's life. We really don't think we need it, but we do. It's really important. So, and I think it just goes back to the first question. This church needs to be a place that adds value to the lives of young people, that loves people and accepts them no matter what age.
Yeah, that's good. Anything to add to that?
Amen. To that. When I was thinking about this question, really three words came to my mind, and those are invite, introduce, and invest. That one's for Pastor Kerry.
Three I words, really. It's like a sermon. Preach it.
But really, invitation, I think, is really important because the younger generation is less likely to be attending church, don't feel like they need it as much. Inviting them, letting them know that we want them here, we need them here, and value their presence. I think invitation, inviting people to church, inviting them to youth group, inviting them to come to children's ministry and college group, I think those are all really important things. And also introducing. We want people to feel welcome here. We want them to feel like they're a part of a community and be connected. We could have a great church service here on Sunday, but if someone comes for the first time and doesn't meet a single person, they're probably not going to come back. So I think really the connectedness to people is important also. And then investing, like Olivia was saying, just believing in the younger generation, making them feel valued, and being a mentor. And I think oftentimes we want to lead just by being an example, hoping that they'll follow, hoping the younger generation will follow, and one day we'll follow in our footsteps. But I think it's more than that. I think we need to make the connection right here and now, that they can offer something right now. And so investing in them, being a mentor to them, is really important.
I love that, because I don't think it's as hard as we make it. I mean, all of us, everybody here has a young person in your life. And it can be just as simple as being intentional about loving them, feeding them, you know, whatever. They like coffee, you know, whatever it takes. Maybe not like real young people with coffee, you know, but like just listening to them, listening to their stories, understanding the worldview from their perspective, and letting them know that they matter and they have value. I think that's beautiful, and it really encourages me and inspires me. Last question. We're kicking off a series today entitled The Gift. And I know it seems like a weird time of the year. That should be like a Christmas message probably. But we're focusing on the incredible gift that we've received from God, but then our response to that. And today, specifically, we're going to talk about this idea of obedience. So I want to ask you both, when you hear that idea of obedience, specifically full, complete obedience, how have you wrestled with that in your life? The difference between just obeying God in some areas of your life and obeying Him with all of it? And how have you wrestled with that, and how has the Lord kind of helped you with that?
I think it's pretty easy with that to put God in a box and obey Him in some parts, but not fully. And I'm sure most of us have done this, but really obeying God fully requires total surrender.
Right.
And that includes surrender of your fears, surrender of your comfort zone, surrender of the things you don't want to do, our weaknesses and struggles. So obeying God fully is really just total surrender. Saying, I'll obey you, God, but only if you don't make me go talk to that stranger. That's putting God in a box and not obeying Him fully and being fully surrendered. And I've definitely struggled with that in my own life, especially with fear. I've always feared talking to people and feared thinking I didn't have that gift of speaking. And so I really put God in a box, and I said, okay, God, I'll obey you. I'll go into ministry, but I won't be a pastor. And eventually, obviously, I had to come to terms with fully surrendering to God and knowing that that's not okay. That's putting myself on the throne and not God.
Right.
So really allowing God to work in that. And when I've fully surrendered to Him, it's a freedom that comes with that, because right. I realize that it's not me who's speaking, it's God, and He hasn't failed once to come through with that. So there's really a freedom in that, and fully surrendering to Him.
Awesome. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with Julie a lot with that. I think it seems so easy to give God only part of ourselves, to only allow Him to work in part of our lives. And complete surrender to God is really a hard place to get to, but once you're there, I mean, I can tell you it's so worth it. I think I have a practical example of this. When I was going to college, I knew God was calling me to go to ENC, and I was not thrilled about that. And I also knew God was calling me to be in ministry, and I really wasn't thrilled about that. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you ENC, and maybe like this will satisfy you, and then I can just do literally anything else. That would be great. And so it took about a year of college and like five majors, and I really tried to study everything I could that would allow me to be in the Word but not be in ministry. And eventually I gave in and I surrendered to God, and He has so provided for me. And I think the difference is that I was still fearful of the future. I still didn't really know what was coming, but I had confidence because I knew that I was where God had me.
Right. Man, that's awesome. I love that both of you really, for us, represent obedience today. Like, you wouldn't be in the chairs that you're in today. Doing what they do is not easy. It's just not. And I just want you to know that I'm grateful, not just as, you know, serve alongside you on staff and somebody that would consider you my friend, but my children, like, you're my children's pastors. Like, next year, I'll send a sixth grader your way, Olivia. Get ready, because she is something. But, like, when I pray for you, I pray for my children, I pray for their friends, I pray for, as I walk the halls of their school, and it makes me emotional, because I believe it's not just you represent the future, you represent today in their lives. So I pray often for you, And I'm so grateful you're sitting in these seats. We're going to close by asking Pastor Olivia and Pastor Julie to pray, but specifically in the lives of some parents and students this week. It's a big week. Some of us went back this past week. Some of us will return this coming week to school. And so we thought it would only be appropriate for you as families or students, college students even that might be here. We want to pray over you today. So I thought there's no one better to be able to do that than Pastor Olivia and Pastor Julie. So if you bow your heads with us this morning, we're just going to allow them to pray with us and for us this morning as we close this time.
God, thank you for allowing me to be a part of a church that believes in the lives of all generations. And thank you for giving us this space this morning to talk about the beauty of future generations. God, I know that glorifies and honors you this morning. And as we kick off another school year and we're going through these transitions, God, I pray that this congregation would not just stay inside this church, that we would expand out of the walls of HFCN. And I pray that as these students go, that you would use them, God, that you would shine through them and use them as vessels for your kingdom, and that you would protect them and walk with them, God. And Lord, I pray that as each student and parent goes out of this building, that they would know that this church is a place that they could cling tight to. God, we are giving you this school year, and we are trusting you with the details. In your name.
God, we're just so grateful to be a part of this church body that really embraces and invests in the younger generation. And thank you that we can be a testimony to that, God, that you have things in store, Lord, for this church and for this younger generation, God, that we can't even imagine. God, we thank you for another school year. Lord, we thank you that you have gone before these children. Lord, you have set their paths, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would guard their hearts and guard their minds this year, Lord, against all evil, all unrighteousness, God. We just thank you that you are present, God, and we pray that they would reach out to you in their times of need, God. I pray, Lord, for those who are in public school, for those who are in private schools, for those who are homeschooled, God, wherever they may be. God, I pray that you would work and move in their hearts, God. Bring them closer to you, God, and allow them to shine, Lord. Would you just give them boldness to proclaim your truth, God, to their friends? Will their friends see the light that they have, God, and desire that, desire to come to church with them, Father? We pray that over all of our students today, God. We thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Church, would you join me in just thanking and welcoming these pastors? We're grateful they're here. Thank you, guys.
I am a part of his body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and discipline. I choose to believe his dream.
This morning, as we launch into this new series, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, you ever been around those people? And that's all I know to really say, those kind of people, not the bad kind of people. Stop thinking about them. I mean, the good people. I mean, the people that when you're around them, they're just, they're contagious, they're full of life. I mean, I thought of some phrases I would use to describe the kind of people I'm thinking of. You would say these kind of people are just fully alive. Not like jumping out of airplanes fully alive, you know. Not, I mean, just normal, everyday people like you and me. But when you're around them, it's like, man, there's just, it's like there's a freedom in the way they live their life. Or they're just fully at peace, which I know sounds like not a big deal, but we live in a world where there's a lot of fear and anxiety. And I mean, have you ever been around, and I even mean like young people, like students, have you ever been around somebody that you just look at them and you say, that person just has joy in their life. It doesn't matter how things are going. It's just, and you're around them and you're just like, wow, I want to be like that. I want to be like fully alive, fully at peace. And I've thought about that as we kick off our series today. And I thought about the one characteristic in my life that I would say about every person like that that I've met. And it's that they are obedient in every area of their life. And it's not always extravagant. I mean, it's not always like, well, they sold everything and moved to Cambodia, which my youth pastor did, by the way. But that's awesome. Great. But it's not always that. It's in every little area of their life, they're obedient. That in relationships and in conversation and in the job that they do and the place that they live and how they parent their kids, everything is just disobedient. And the fruit of that is a life that it's so incredible. It's something that I want. And so this morning, I want to share with you just briefly in the time that we have together what I believe is the number one obstacle to obedience in my life. And I hope it helps you. If not, it'll be a few minutes of me just kind of sharing where I'm at. But I believe it will. If you turn this morning to Mark chapter 9 in your copy of Scripture, we're going to spend just a few minutes looking at the second half of this story. If we had more time, we'd come back to it. But I want to look at Mark 9. I'm going to be reading this morning from the New International Version. You follow along whatever version you have. And if you don't have it in front of you, it's behind me on the screen. I'd love for you to follow along in Mark 9. We're going to pick up in verse 20, where there's a story of a man whose son has been possessed by a demon. And he has no hope. He doesn't know what to do. He's at the end of his rope. So he comes to Jesus. Let's pick it up in verse 20 of Mark chapter 9. It says this: they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." I don't want you to miss 24, verse 24 of Mark chapter 9. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him, never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed violently, and it came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Wow. I want to focus for just a moment on this desperate cry, this desperate plea of this father in verse 24, because so many times in my life, I'm not going to talk about you today. I don't want to convict you. I'm just going to talk about me. Is that safe? Okay, good. In my life, when I come to Jesus with my burdens and my cares and my worries and my fears, and so many times I might even say something like, "Well, Jesus, if you could just do something here, if you could just help in some way." And I can almost see his face, maybe with tears in his eyes. Maybe, I don't think he's angry, but maybe with a little bit of frustration, like, "If I can. I conquered death. I overcame the grave. If I can, everything is possible," right? Verse 23, "Everything is possible for one who believes." And then often my response is, "Jesus, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Jesus, I do trust you. Jesus, I do want to obey. Would you help me overcome my unbelief? The places in my life where I don't believe." Because you see, I brought this up here as kind of the best illustration I know how. Many of us are kind of like this bowl, you know, and we need to be filled with his presence. And so we might come in the areas of our unbelief. We might come on a Sunday morning like this and say, "I need faith. Would you increase my faith? Would you help my unbelief?" And he does. His presence, he is so faithful to take us and fill us with his presence. And we say, "That's not enough. I want more of your presence. And I don't have to wait till a Sunday to get your presence." It can happen during the week and throughout the week. And he continues to fill us more and more until these places in our life where this unbelief has existed for so long, suddenly we're able to obey him. We're able to trust him more because we take his word and apply it to those places in our life. And suddenly, our faith increases, our obedience increases. But for many of us, we don't look anything like that. We look a lot like this, right? So we might come on a Sunday morning and our heart is good and our motives are good, but we say, oh, Spirit, fill me. I don't know what to do about this. I'm so afraid. Help me. And he does. I mean, he pours his Spirit into us, but our faith leaks. And well, we keep trying. Lord, maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I need to read more. Maybe I need to show up more. Life group, you know, whatever I need to do. And every time, it's like our faith leaks because this unbelief, these areas in our life where we have not truly believed what it is that he has said to us, our faith leaks. And so we're not obeying him fully. We're not trusting him fully in every area of our life. Again, I'm just talking about me this morning, so if you get convicted, sorry. But I want to talk to you about some specific ways that I deal with unbelief in my life. And I wrote them up on the screen, maybe to convict me even more. How about this? In the fear of the future, not just for me, but for my children, for their future. We live in a world today where we can really fear, and we can really be fearful if we let ourselves get there, right? When I think about the world that my children will live in. And so many times, I kind of give into this leaky kind of faith where I start to try to understand the worldview through my perspective, and I forget what the Word of God says, and suddenly I've got all kinds of unbelief in my life about the future. Maybe God won't really come through. Maybe he won't be enough. Maybe I need to figure this out on my own. What about in my guilt from the past? I mean, I read and I understand that the blood of Jesus covers my sin, that I've been forgiven. That he just didn't forgive my sin. He overcame death, conquering sin. And I know that to be true, and I believe that, but this unbelief creeps in when I start to be reminded of the things of the past, and I start to allow them to impact today. What about how I view myself? I mean, I could read the Word of God today, and I could know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that he knows the hairs on my head, that my days have been numbered, and that he has a plan for me, a good plan to prosper me and not harm me. But I could walk out of the doors of this church and suddenly start to believe the lies about me that I'm not good enough, that I don't measure up, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not pretty enough, that I'm not, maybe not me pretty, you know, but I'm talking about you today, that you're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You don't measure up. And what does that do? It creates unbelief in my life where I can keep pouring the Word of God into my life. I can keep, but that unbelief sets in and my faith, it leaks. What about how I view other people in my life? I read and believe what God says, that he didn't just die for me, he died for the whole world. He cares about my neighbor, not just my neighbor down the street, but my neighbor halfway across the world. But I allow unbelief to set in and suddenly I don't even like my neighbor, much less love him. What about my finances? This is it for me. This is the one where I know God's truth, and I've seen God do incredible miracles in my life and in people around me, but when it comes to trusting him enough to say, well, God, I don't know how you're going to provide enough to pay that bill. Like, why is that? Why is it that I can trust him with the big things, but when it comes to the paychecks, then I get stingy with the Lord? And I allow unbelief to set in. I don't obey him fully because I'm too worried about how that's going to impact my bottom line. What about my relationships with my family, with my friends, people around me? Do I believe the best about them? Do I believe about them what God says about them? Or do I allow unbelief to come in and say, oh yeah, they'll always be that way. They'll never change. Man, unbelief for me is the enemy to obedience. It's the enemy to obedience. And so I want to invite you today to pray a prayer that's simple. To pray a prayer that's, may not sound like much, but a simple prayer that says, Lord, I believe, would you help my unbelief? Because the reality is that belief isn't enough. In James chapter 2, it says the demons believe. Some good that does them. It's our action. Right? And so in some ways, that prayer of I believe, help my unbelief, is almost to say that I believe, but now, Lord, I need to act on my belief. I need to do something about my belief. I don't want to have a leaky faith anymore where I'm constantly consuming, where I'm constantly taking, but I'm not holding any of it in. Lord, would you help my unbelief? Help me to not be a person that just hears the word. Help me be a person that puts it into action. this morning with your heads bowed, I just want to ask you for a minute. We're done talking about me for a minute. Let's talk about you. Where is it in your life today that you've allowed unbelief to creep in? And that's what it'll do. It will creep in little by little. Just some doubts, just some fears, just some whispers from the enemy that God will not come through for you. That he's been faithful before, but this time he won't be. That he may have provided before, but this is different. Oh, I know that he, you know, saved their marriage, but yours isn't the same. Wherever that is, the enemy will come in and he'll create that unbelief. Students, that you would feel like that you're entering this school year all alone, that nobody sees you and nobody, that's unbelief. That's not true. That's not what the Word of God says, but we allow unbelief to come in. In my finances, that I'm not going to make it. I can't do it. I don't know. The God can't provide here. He won't come through for me. That's unbelief. So today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you about you. Where are you in this idea of total obedience, trusting him fully? I want to pray for you today. And as we pray, maybe this morning you just want to put your face in your hands and you just want to almost come before the Lord and just humble yourself and say, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. I do believe. Help my unbelief. Father, I pray today over your sons and your daughters in this room. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. You love them so much that you took your son, your only son, and you paid their price. He took their place. They have incredible value today to you. But Lord, so many times we compromise in our faith. We compromise in our belief. Whether we realize it or not, that this unbelief creeps in and it allows us to not obey you fully, to believe that we can just obey you part way. Like Pastor Olivia and Pastor Julie said, that we can just give you some of our obedience, but not all. And Father, I've seen the fruit of my life lived like that. I've seen the fruit of Adrian's life that's lived in halfway obedience to you. And I say today, I'm done with that. I want the fruit that comes from full obedience in you. So I pray for any of my brothers and sisters today in this room that are having leaky faith. I pray today, Lord, that you would come. Your presence would be undeniable. And as they humble themselves before you, that you will lift them up in this place today. We trust in you. We trust that your word will not return void, that the promises in your word we can stake our life to. You're our firm foundation, our solid rock. We trust you today in a new way like never before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I believe as we prayed that today, faith is rising up in the room. I can't explain it, but I believe as we come before him and say, Lord, help my unbelief, that moves the heart of heaven. There's nothing more he wants to hear than that. Oh, I want to help you. I will help you. And I believe as we prayed today, he is on the move in our hearts and our lives. Well, hey, as we prepare to close, I do pray that you'll come back and join us over these next couple weeks in this series. I promise you will not regret it. Pastor Carey will be back with us next week, and I know that he would love to greet you. A few things that we want to make sure you're aware of before you leave the place today. First of all, we have our concert coming up. We're calling it Israel Night. This is Paul Wilbur, who travels the country, really the world, hosting these concerts, a night of messianic worship. If you know Pastor Carey and his heart for Israel and the Middle East, this is like a bucket list thing for him. He'll probably be right here on the front row crowd surfing, you know, if that's even allowed. I don't know, but that'll be him. So come, though. We really want to invite you to be a part of this unique night of worship. You do need to go online and reserve your seat, but there is no cost. So what I'm really excited about this morning, too, is to tell you more about the weekend that will follow. We're launching a weekend this fall. We're calling it our Go Weekend, a weekend to engage God's mission for his church. And if you find yourself right here with faith that's leaking, I want to encourage you. This is a great opportunity to spend some intentional time over that weekend just engaging the word. We have Reverend James Sproul that's coming back to speak with us, and he has really a gift at speaking to all generations and saying some tough things sometimes, but things that we need to hear. John and Mandy Lawson are going to be helping us lead worship that weekend. I'm really excited about that. But we've planned some other events. So we have some invite cards, and we want you to take it so that you'll be aware of what's happening that weekend and so you can plan. We're planning some events for kids, some after-hours events for our middle school and high schoolers, a church picnic, you know, what could be bad about that? With face painting, inflatables, stuff for the whole family that weekend. We know fall is busy. we know that this is a sacrifice, but I'm asking you to pray and consider coming and being a part of whatever that part of that weekend you can be. Cards are available here and at the info desk in the lobby. Please grab one, maybe invite someone, but promise, commit to pray about your part of being here that weekend. I promise you won't regret it. As we prepare to leave today, we do want to remind you that we have people at the well right now. Right now they're there, and they would love to pray with you today. Maybe there's something that God has spoken to you today about obedience, and you say, man, I don't want to feel alone in this. You don't have to be. There's somebody that would love to pray with you, for you today. So if you would stop by across from the cafe, they would love to do that. Also, we have people moving into place to greet our first-time friends, our visitors. If you're here today, we just want to give you a gift. There's no obligation in it, but just a chance for us to say hello and thank you. And it's a good gift. You're going to want it. So stop by and get that. Also, Celebrate Recovery is happening tomorrow, as it happens every Monday, a place to find hope and healing. Maybe there's unbelief related to some hurt over your past. What a great opportunity to find hope and healing for you. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning as we prepare to go and receive this blessing, this benediction today. Father, I pray today over your church. We are the church, and we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. And so now, as you commission us to go into this world that you love, into this world that you died for, I pray that we would be people not of unbelief, but of belief in obedience. And it would start today, Lord. I pray and ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.